You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The World Economic Forum is coming to a close in the next few hours, so let's sort of contextualise and review what has happened over the last 2 to 3 days with Tim Cohen, who is the editor of Business Maverick. He's in Davos with us now, confined, as he said to me earlier on, to the media centre and being plied with a cheap coffee rather than 400 rand per shot whiskies, which he also spoke to me about confidentially a few minutes ago. Tim, how is Davos? It sounds very glamorous, is it?
I mean, it's fabulous. It's an extraordinary. It's an extraordinary event, and it's also, you know, it's an intellectual box of explosives. You know, the people here are fantastic. They're from all over the world. They all have done kind of special things, but it's also, you know, it's also very wordy. Very worthy. It can be bewildering. It's one of those. You know, you always feel as though you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. That you should be somewhere else. There are hundreds, really hundreds of panels with talking about different topics, all of which are, you know, interesting. And the people involved are fascinating. And on top of that, there's a, you know, it's a really big media focus. It's still dominated by sort of international business people. They've tried to change the tone of it. There's a lot more trade unionists and activists, social activists of different sorts who come. And that has been very apparent this year.
The money aspect of it need not detain us, but there are certain levels when you go to Davos that you pay for. In other words, you get in, I think it's something like $20,000 just to get in there. And then I think it goes up to something like $480,000 when you get your white badge with the hologram on it and you can go and talk to Bono and world leaders and that sort of thing. I'm not asking you what level you have.
no, you're very welcome to. I'm right at the bottom.
When you go there,
you can go to
presentations, can you, with your accreditation?
Yes, yeah. It's governed by your card, and there are perhaps 10 different kinds of cards of different levels, and the weightiness of your card really determines who you are. It's a very feudal class system.
Yes, indeed. I mean, what have you gleaned? What have you gleaned? What have you learned? Has it been worth it? I mean, everybody is very cynical these days. People like me that never gets invited to Davos says, oh, no, it's just a great big celebrity bun fight and everyone goes there just to be seen. But I imagine behind the scenes and even in front of the scenes as well, there's a lot of worthy stuff going on. As you said earlier on, you used the word worthy. Has it been worthy for you and what have you gleaned?
Yes, I think it is. It's an extraordinarily useful way of getting a real handle on the international zeitgeist. I think that's why people love it so much and why they keep coming back. For CEOs of big companies, you know, to meet all of the people that they would meet at Davos, they'd have to spend 2 months on the plane.
Yes,
it's just so it's very convenient. The level of discussion is extremely high. The level of participants is extremely good. But as you say, there is this sort of, you know, which, you know, the WEFT sort of trades on, you know, this desirability. Have you been invited? Have you not been invited? What card have you got? You know, those sorts of things. Yes. It is a slightly a CNBC sort of place. In my books, that's a negative, but there's a lot of people who really love to be here and love to be seen. So it's also interesting. It used to be a very intellectual, high-level intellectual discussion around about geopolitics and about economics. It's now more, you know, the politicians are making more and more of an attempt to grab the agenda here. There were seven presidents and world leaders who spoke at this Davos. There are always, you know, at least five, including Donald Trump. you know, what have I gleaned? I think what I've gleaned is that the level of business confidence is pretty in America very high. People think that the growth will continue for at least another 2 years.
Right.
Level of business confidence in Europe, less so. They are very worried about the that there are no fiscal tools left in order to stimulate growth, and that this has to happen through new investment, new innovations, better relationships with the world. In Asia, there is a slightly more subdued sort of sense of the business future, but not depressive. By their enormously high standards, this is they are declining and are trying to find ways to build that into what they're doing.
Did you see Donald Trump? Did you listen to his opening speech, which was very vainglorious, I thought, but also terribly interesting because of the vainglorious nature of it? And what was your impression of it?
No, I mean, he sounds sometimes like a, you know, it was a very stump speech. So he touched on, you know, spent a lot of the time talking about America's prowess economically. He punted, of course, the signing of the first part of the agreement, the trade agreement with China, and also the agreements with Canada and Mexico. You know, he had something to punt. He had a story to tell. He was very skeptical about climate change and was derided, openly derided by almost every other world leader. I think people are getting used to him and his weird, kind of slightly bizarre form of politics. So,
he grinds you down. I think that's what it is, because he's so repetitive with his lies that he actually grinds you down. You almost start believing them yourself, or you just dismiss them in the end.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you know, the really remarkable thing about this year's Davos was the kind of implicit confrontation between a 17-year-old schoolgirl from Sweden, Greta Thunberg, and an 82-year-old president of the United States. And, you know, I won't give you a prize to tell you who sounded like more like an adult.
Yeah, no, she's a little girl with very well-formed ideals, and she has Asperger's, and she's being pilloried by so many people, and I think it's a little bit unfair. Okay, maybe she's been given too much of a platform, and maybe people are guilty of making her their champion, if you like. But on the other hand, just leave her alone and let her get on with it. Don't be nasty about it, because everything she says, again, that word is worthy. She has a worthy cause that she's promoting.
No, definitely. And she is, you know, she has studied the science of it very closely. I mean, she knows the science of it extremely well, much better than, you know, a lot of sort of climate activists around the world. She's really a phenomenon, and you know, you feel for her. She's physically tiny, she's very thin, she's very determined. She really thumps it to you. You know, she's strong-willed. Yeah, she was an impressive show. I have to say,
very good.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at South Africa now, because I'm very, very pleased that after a couple of no-shows at previous Davoses, and I distinctly remember that there was a South African panel and there was an empty chair, and it was chaired by a South African, and Mr. Zuma wasn't there. He was in Davos, but he didn't turn up, if I'm right. But anyway, let's not dwell on the past. Let's dwell on what's happened now. There hasn't been a massive South African delegation, but there is a South African presence there. What have you gleaned, again, that word gleaned, from the South African presence at Davos?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a slightly subdued grouping, but not much. Normally, South Africa sends about 60 people, business people and government people, last year they sent 66, this year it was 60, so, you know, it's not down much. The president didn't come, he has his own political problems to deal with it, but South Africa is well represented by Finance Minister Tito Mboweni. I mean, South Africa has, there have been regular Davos goers for years and years and years since Mandela's time. They're an appreciated delegation. They people like having them. They're clearly talking the same language. I think I get the impression there is a little bit of frustration creeping into the international business community's sense of South Africa and what it's doing. Like South Africans in general, they feel South Africa's just slipped off the tracks a bit, more than a bit. So it's important for the South Africans to pitch at events like this, just to reassure people, to make sure people know that they are attuned to the problems. And what was very interesting, I think, was Sipho Phetsana, who's the chair of the Business Unity South Africa. He was very present on a lot of panels, speaking about Africa. And they've got a new message about Africa, which is really revolves around the Africa Free Trade Zone idea. And business people around the world, they really like that. This is a good sales point. And he is himself, such an impressive guy. He delivers it really well. I don't think it was, there were other issues that the World Economic Forum was dealing with this year. Africa wasn't one of them. But that's how it goes. Some years you're the focus, some years you're not.
Some people say that the whole theme of Davos this year is environmentalism. It's all to do with saving the world. I mean, I don't know what the broad statement is. I can't remember what the title for Davos this year was. And people will say, well, look at all these private jets flying into Zurich and Geneva and Milan and Munich and all those places, and then you're using up so much carbon. But on the other hand, you said to me earlier on that in order to get all these people together in one place for 1 week would take 2-3 months. And therefore, in fact, it's probably saving the world by getting them all together at one time. Has it been worth it, do you think? And will it continue to be worth it?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's not going to stop. Jeepers. It's got such a traction now. And of course, they are aware of this, right? There are carbon offsets. A lot of people came by train this year. They're concentrating on the food. The signs are recyclable. There's a general hyper-consciousness about that particular criticism. But still, there were still, over 100 private jets coming in. Plus helicopters, by the way, over the mountain, over the mountaintop. If you're asking if there's hypocrisy here, the answer to that would be yes. But as you say, this is for a lot of international companies, they can get a lot of their international relations work done in one fell swoop, that's a very useful thing for big companies that operate all around the world to do.
Will we be following your thoughts from Davos on Business Maverick and Daily Maverick over the next few days? What are your plans in terms of covering this event?
I've been putting out a specialist newsletter every morning, just focusing on Davos. We've printed quite a lot of stories from here, and I've written a bunch. There's some things. There's a bunch of things that have come up that I haven't really spoken about. One of them is shareholder activism, this is always a big focus of for tech issues, especially fintech is a huge topic often at Davos. So I've written about that. It's also a sort of focus for reports about different aspects of the state of the world. The Transparency International report came out yesterday. South Africa's position in that has sort of just been basically the same. We're sort of on hold. There's a reports about social mobility, reports about you know, trade and so on. There's a lot of information that comes out.
Tim, let's talk about the most important topic of this conversation. The Davos Festival is coming to a close now. The Feast of Reason and the Flow of Soul is coming to an end very soon. What are you going to do this evening? I need to live my life vicariously through you. What are you going to do this evening when you sit down, you've written your reports, you've pressed the buttons? What are you going to do?
They have a big press shindig in which we get, and you won't believe this, it's a kind of, they call it high cuisine, but in fact what happens is you get pieces of bread and boiling cheese, and you dunk the cheese, the bread into the cheese.
Yes, I've heard of that. Yes.
They call the name it, for it fondue.
That's exactly fondue. I'm very fond of fondue. Very good. Yes.
Anyway, they try and convince us that this is high cuisine, but basically it's bread and cheese.
Tim, yeah. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of Davos. We'll speak next week. That's Tim Cohen, who is the editor of Business Maverick. Go to businessmaverick.co.za. I think it is. Actually, no, tell me exactly where we should go to follow your work, if you would, Tim.
Oh, it's actually Daily Maverick, and then you'll see there's a banner. So it's dailymaverick.co.za. Then you'll see a banner for Business Maverick. Just hit the banner and... the business side of the website will pop up.
Thank you very much and enjoy your bread and cheese. That's Tim Cohen from Business Maverick speaking to us live from Davos. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.